Hello, everyone. This is David Hughes with the Corporate Marketing Group here at Worldwide Technology, welcoming you to the latest episode of WWT's Tech17 podcast series. Our Tech17 series brings together subject matter experts from WWT, our partners, and even sometimes our customers to discuss important topics on today's IT landscape. So as we record this episode, we are nearing the end of 2017. We are recording in mid-December, so we thought it'd be a good time to do kind of a little wrap up on a very important practice area for all of us, but especially in the enterprise space with organizations. And that would be cybersecurity, which is seems like it's always in the news, not usually for good reasons. But we're here to talk today about cybersecurity, kind of look back a little bit on 2017, a little bit of a year in review, and then also look forward to 2018 and some of the key focus areas that we think are going to be really important moving into 2018. So we've got two of our esteemed subject matter experts from our security practice team here at Worldwide, Kent Noyes and Chris Conrad. So guys, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. So maybe just a little, if you guys could just kind of tell us a little bit about your role here at Worldwide, maybe how long you've been here and how long you've been working in the security space. So maybe, Kent, we'll start with you.
Yep, sure. Kent Noyes, principal architect in the security practice here. And my role essentially is to create innovations around security and consult with our customers on security architectures and their security solutions. I've been at Worldwide now for probably 16 years. Off and on in security the whole time and in a myriad of practices here, but in this particular practice now for 3 years straight here.
Okay, Chris?
And I'm Chris Conrad. I'm a practice lead for security engagements. I'm part of our global security organization. And my role and my team's role, primary responsibility is to work closely with our account teams, with our partners, and with our customers to conduct tech briefings, workshops, and to help our clients execute on strategy. Okay. And I've been at Worldwide since 2014.
All right, great. So, you know, Kent, you're based here in St. Louis, where we're recording from today, which is our global headquarters. And Chris, where are you based out of?
Based out of Maryland.
Based out of Maryland.
Just outside of Baltimore.
Okay, great. Okay, guys. Well, I think, you know, as I stated before, I think we'll take a few minutes of today's episode to kind of look back to 2017. And Chris was sharing some numbers with me before we started recording, and they're a little scary. there was actually over 1,200 breaches with companies and organizations. There were over 1,200 breaches that companies and organizations were hit with last year. And the even kind of more concerning part is there were over 172 million records exposed. Now, that's just in 2017. So it's something, obviously, I think we all feel as individuals. But obviously, when we're talking about the enterprise space and with our customers and organizations and partners we work with, it's a major deal. I think for our listeners, you know, some of the major ones that I think we're all aware of are like Equifax, Yahoo, which I think had over 3 billion records exposed. Uber, of course, they've had their issues that has kind of come to light recently. And, of course, the one that really, I guess, happened in 2016 but is still occurring, we're feeling the lingering effects of it in a lot of different ways, was the way that cybersecurity and hacking affected not really more than the election but just the voting records that we have here. And it's not just the national election. It's stuff that happened in 16 and is still obviously potentially, and I guess not even potentially, something that's, you know, a very big concern moving forward, not only from 2016 but in the near future. So, on that happy note, so why don't I turn things over to Chris and Kent, and maybe guys, maybe you can kind of give me your take on kind of how, kind of your review or some things that you thought were kind of big and that you wanted to highlight that happened and you're looking back to this past year. So Kent, maybe, or Chris, maybe I'll start with you.
Yeah, 2017 was an interesting year. I've been in the security space now for 19 years, and it's amazing how much has stayed the same, believe it or not. And a lot of organizations that I went and visited throughout 2017, you know, they wanted to talk to me about blockchain and artificial intelligence and machine learning. And I almost want them to take a time out for just a half a second. And really what I see is that organizations need to focus on just basic security principles, basic hygiene. You know, we're still seeing a ton of legacy systems that are out there. You know, Dave, you and I were just talking about this morning, just the amount of uses we see of organizations that have XP, 2003 server. And we're still seeing organizations just not keeping up with vulnerability management and patch management. It's still a big concern. And, you know, are they making the right investments?
I completely agree. I think, you know, it's been about the fundamentals for a while. It still is about the fundamentals. When you look at some of the biggest, most impactful recent ones, you mentioned a couple in Equifax and WannaCry, those particularly could have largely been maybe not entirely avoided, but you have a much better chance of avoiding them if you just do the simple act of patching properly. Both of those were essentially started out with patching issues, and it expanded from there. So patching, visibility, basic security hygiene overall, always been, you know, has always been sort of the go-to for proper security. That hasn't changed. There's a lot more advanced techniques to go to now, but those are certainly still, you know, when you look at all the attacks, essentially, you know, they're often a combination of a lack of patching and user issues. So I completely agree with you, Chris, on the fundamentals.
So many customers, I want to go ask them, you know, step one, you know your inventory. And a lot of cases, they don't even know what they have out there. They can't name the assets they're trying to defend. And that's step one. If you don't know what you have and you don't know the name of those assets that are out there, how are you going to go out and patch the systems accordingly? So maybe you need to do that first before you start researching blockchain.
And, you know, I think with some of these companies, I remember, I think it was Target, I think the big security breach they had. But, you know, that impacted some particular members of executive management in terms of losing their jobs. So obviously they want to look out for their customers and protect their, you know, resources. But they also have a little skin in the game, I think, too, when it comes to cybersecurity issues as well. So, so let's look forward a bit to 2018. So, I think what we wanted to talk about for the rest of the episode was kind of to look ahead to 2018, and we wanted to discuss a few specific topics. And these aren't, and it's kind of like to your point, Chris, these aren't things that are brand new. These aren't things that companies are just being exposed to or haven't really had to rely on or think of as important issues, but they just but the importance of them is, you know, maybe just even elevated more moving into 2018. So looking ahead, a couple specific topics we wanted to talk about specifically was the first one was enterprise segmentation and how companies really need to focus on that moving ahead of 2018. So Ken, what are your thoughts on that?
You know, segmentation has been around a long time. I think that it's kind of interesting. We still walk in customer after customer now, and there's this concept of a flat network, and that's basically a network with no segmentation. And years ago, that used to be sort of layer two segmentation. Now it's moved into this sort of layer two flat networks. Now we're in layer three, still seeing layer three flat networks, which basically means, you know, no controls like stateful firewalls in the mix at the right places. And my theory with that is that when they started down the path of segmentation for proper controls, they didn't start out with data classification and risk and some of these proper things that you need to do ahead of time before you ever get the technology. Usually people who do segmentation they're often led by teams that are technologists and they're trying to do the right thing, and often they're doing the right thing, but they may not be basing it on you know, a good prioritization of what the company prizes most to protect and the layers of controls that they want to go into there. So we kind of have a methodology that an approach that starts with that, and it might go for months where you're just trying to simply determine what is most important to you. And I feel like that's what most organizations need to do. You really need to think about, you really need to combine your network teams and your security teams and get that you know, network segmentation and security policy sort of married together properly to put up those adequate, you know, layers of controls in the best, in sort of the optimal architecture going forward.
Okay. Chris?
It's big.
Yeah, you talk about data classification, and just an area where we see customers really struggle is just with documentation and runbooks and having the appropriate policies and procedures. And before you can even begin to start doing an enterprise segmentation project, as Kent talked about, data classification is huge. But many times people don't even know where their data is. And so that's a big problem. So again, go back to that step one, know where your data is so you can begin put that plan together.
And we talked about fundamentals a few minutes ago. I mean, segmentation is, frankly, a fundamental, but it hasn't changed much. I think maybe what's changed is those barriers, those segments between, we call them zones. You know, when you place servers into zones or applications into zones and you have barriers between them, what's probably changed is you're putting a few more layers of what we call controls at those barriers. It used to be pretty simple. You're going to put a stateful firewall in there, and that's still a go-to. That's not changed at all. But now you put different layers of DLP. You might add an element of deception and honeypots and things like that into that. That is what's changed over time, in addition to more formally defining data classification and risk and sort of the prerequisites to proper technology segmentation.
Okay. Two other topics, which, again, they're not new, but they seem to be kind of moving more toward the forefront, not really even just the security practice, but in a lot of the IT practice areas that that we work in. And one is automation. So kind of, how would you, for our listeners' benefit, how do you guys see the automation position in the security practice area, and especially moving into 2018?
Well, first of all, I have not met an organization that is overstaffed with regards to cybersecurity personnel. And I think if you go out, there's various studies and surveys that show that we're about 1 million people short with regards to filling security roles.
1 million people short?
Short.
Okay.
So if you are a high school student or a college student, this is a perfect field for you to get into, cybersecurity.
So if you're listening, kids.
That's right. Absolutely. So when you think about that, is just, everybody is short-staffed. And so you need to sit down and think about what are some of those tasks that you do every single day and start to document those, and then what can you automate? Figure out what those use cases are, work with your teams, and then you can start to automate many of the mundane tasks that security analysts have to do every single day.
Yeah, IT, really overall IT is becoming a DevOps world. It's becoming a programmable, software-defined type world, and that opens up a lot of doors. All the new sort of API capabilities that are out there, it's much more rich across the OEMs and the varied OEMs that are in security, and the need is there. You marry that up with the need in security, it's unbelievable. He's exactly right. Chris is exactly right. It's well known that there's a huge shortage of resources in the security world. We have customers who are trying to deal with thousands and thousands of events coming in a day. They can only deal with 3 or 4 of them at a time and track them down and investigate them. I mean, it's daunting what they're up against. So essentially automating and using software to do that and automating daily processes, sort of putting them in a container, moving them off your plate so you can do something else, is an absolute requirement, and we're seeing huge demand for that from our customers overall.
Yeah, I heard some people in our security practice talk about that API being the force multiplier, the gift that keeps giving.
It is, and the concept of the security automation platform is a big one, and these are platforms that are purpose-built to take advantage of those APIs. It comes with a lot of pre-built APIs into a myriad, a large number of security solutions that are out there, so it can tie them together as sort of a hub. But it also creates for you in an object-oriented manner. When you automate, historically, in years past, you're scripting, you're creating individual scripts to automate individual things together.
It's a whole other talent set.
When you use a security automation platform, it basically uses an object-oriented method to create those Python, if you want to use Python as an example, Python scripts sort of on the fly in an object-oriented way to tie things together. So there are new tools for it. Being created because the need is so great, it's all kind of coming together. But a lot of buzz around it, for sure.
Mm-hmm. And as we kind of move in our last few minutes, I know there was one specific topic just to touch on briefly that we were talking about before we started recording was endpoint protection. So kind of where do you see that in terms of it being a key focus area moving into 2018?
So in a lot of areas, there's a couple angles on that. One is the fact that they kind of categorizes them as endpoint protection platforms in the endpoint world. And then now we've got this growing world of endpoint detection. So you're going to get, it's pretty much agreed upon, you're going to get breached eventually at some point in some way or another, right? So protection is sort of not dead, but it's not what you rely everything on anymore. Now you have to have these things called EDRs, endpoint detection and response solutions, in the endpoint category as well. So that's a growing family of endpoint security solutions that focus on post-breach detection, sort of east-west style attacks as they happen. So the EPP versus EDR world is kind of forming the endpoint. Also, from a segmentation, we talked about that a little bit earlier. There's a shift of balance where you always used to do your segmentation in the network. Well, there's a shift of balance now happening where you're starting to do sort of more of your micro segmentation in the endpoint itself with controls built into the endpoint. You know, users are mobile, servers are mobile. It's a whole lot easier to be able to segment traffic and data on the endpoint, no matter where it goes, as opposed to trying to construct something in the network to do it. So there's a shift of balance in that. A lot of big changes happening in the, and there's, you know, you could probably speak to more, Chris.
I've heard people say that endpoint now is the new perimeter. And so, you know, but in organizations today, when they look at endpoint technologies, they're starting to get a little endpoint fatigue. There are so many different types of technologies and different use cases that are out there. And we just highly recommend everybody just take a half a step back and really evaluate what is it that you're trying to accomplish with regards to your endpoint protection. There are a lot of variety of different tools that are out there. But I will say that, and we said it earlier on, that visibility is key. And you have to have visibility all the way down to the endpoint, and you need the ability to go out and interrogate those devices to see what's running on those machines. Mm-hmm. And you need to get it super fast.
Okay. Well, thanks, guys. I think that that was a great discussion. I think it gives our listeners something to think about moving into 2018, that fundamentals are still the key, and there's probably even though cybersecurity is such a obviously, you know, major primary component of a lot of organizations' IT infrastructure and practice, it's still an issue that they still have a lot to think about and move forward into 2018. So, again, that wraps up our episode of Tech17 for today. I want to thank Chris and Kent for joining us today to do a little 2017 wrap-up and 2018 preview. So, guys, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
Okay, great. So for our listeners, thanks for joining us today and listening in. We definitely encourage you to, as soon as you stop listening to this, if you're not a subscriber to Tech17, do it now. It's free, and you can get access to all of our other Tech17 podcast episodes. It's there on iTunes and all the other podcast platforms where you get your podcasts. We also, of course, have our other podcast channel, Tech37. Where we are putting our new series called Between the Racks, which is also available in video on YouTube, but it's also available as a podcast on our podcast platform as well. Those right now are coming out monthly. So please join us on both of those channels moving forward. Finally, if you have any feedback that you'd like to give us, we'd love to get feedback from our listeners. You can go on Twitter, go to hashtag Tech17, or go to our Twitter feed at WWT_INC. And please give us any comments and feedback. As I mentioned, we love hearing from our listeners. So thanks again for joining us today, and we'll see you next time on Tech17.